Welcome, everybody, to our latest episode of the Learn and Be Curious podcast. One of the best parts of my job is going out and visiting Amazon teams in the field. And in fact, over the last 4 years while I've been in this role, I've had the pleasure to visit almost 200 different sites around the world. And it was those visits that really inspired this podcast. So today, I'm excited to be joined by Alessandro Carbone, who I met a few months ago when we were at your building in southern New Jersey, outside of Philadelphia. Alessandro is one of our general managers of our big Amazon robotic sortable FCs. And we will walk through what all of that mouthful of words just means in a minute. I love that visit. I had a great time meeting with you. I loved your story. I learned a lot about how to run a building well, and I learned a lot about how to lead people better.
Thank you very much, Doug. It's a great opportunity to be here and have this chat with you today.
You know, I'd like to start actually, before we get into what you do today and leading ACY1, tell me your Amazon story.
Yes. So I've been in the company for 9 years now.
9 years. Fantastic.
In 2017, back in Europe. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was like in a beautiful job. I have a master's degree in law, like working in consultancy,
yeah,
bankruptcy, M&A. But then I decided to go for a learning, you know, learn and be curious. It's a little bit a pattern in my life. So I want to go for an MBA, and I've been admitted in one of the top 5 business schools in Switzerland. And then I already had a full-time offer to keep working in banking.
Yeah.
But I needed to pick up like a summer camp. And I say, okay, you have the job, do what you really like to do.
Yeah.
And Amazon was in the partners of the MBA. So I applied.
Yeah.
And I've been admitted in the Amazon Pathways internship.
Yes. Can you tell everybody what the Pathways
is? Yes. So the Pathways program, it's awesome. It's a 3 years career acceleration program.
Yes.
That gives you the opportunity to start from the, let's say, the level entry manager role, area manager, to learn the essential.
Yeah.
So how to manage safety, people, bias for action, ownership, all these core leadership principles. And then you progress throughout the senior's role. So yeah, I applied, I've been admitted in the Munich facility in Germany.
So I didn't actually realize this part of the story. So you are like a fancy pants lawyer, consultant, you're wearing suits to work every day.
I was, yes.
Amazing. And you decide, and what on earth got you to say, I really want to try being a leader inside of Amazon operations?
Yes, actually, it was during that internship because, of course, I had the opportunity to solve a very complex process improvement, applying Six Sigma, lean management.
Yes.
So I said, okay, this is what I studied in the MBA.
Yeah.
But what triggered me to keep working in Amazon was the culture.
Yeah.
So for now, it's a given that everyone is helping each other.
Yeah.
We are sharing everything, white papers.
Yeah.
So there was no competition.
Yeah.
This was the trigger. So I came from law firm where, you know, there is some competition.
Really? Not helping each other every day?
Not really. Uh-huh. So I was like with a senior operations manager until night. He was not even doing my same project. He was helping me until night, building this model in Excel.
Yeah.
The general manager walking the floor every day with me.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, this is what I was looking for.
Yeah. So what did your lawyer partners say to you when you went back to them and said, I don't think I'm going to come back. I'm going to go run operations buildings at Amazon.
So the lawyer that was the main partner of my law firm, he understood because he always recognized in me some managerial skills. My family, of course, was a little bit are you sure? Because we studied a lot. So they say, yes, I'm sure. So I went for that and it paid off because my life changed. I've been in this Pathways program. I started in Germany.
Okay, started in Munich.
Then I moved back to Italy.
Uh-huh.
I'm Italian, of course, as my English accent suggests.
I would never know.
And at that moment, Italy was growing a lot.
Yes. What site were you in Italy?
I started in TRN1, Turin, in the north part.
Turin,
I launched that build, but then I decided to move here in the United States in 2023 as a senior operations manager.
Okay, so you're moving site to site, and then you're also moving your way up a la the Pathways program. You start as kind of this area/operations manager.
Then operations manager in Italy, senior operations manager in Italy. I moved here in United States, and in a couple of years I've been promoted site leader and general manager. And I haven't shared the best part of this, because I met during that 2017 in the internship, met my wife, Veronica.
Yes.
She shared with me
She was in the Pathways program also.
Yeah, she was doing the internship. So we met in Luxembourg, that is our European headquarters.
Yeah.
And since then, we share this journey. So she's a general manager as well.
She's a GM as well.
Yes, yes.
But not in what building does she run?
She's in a traditional non-sortable, so they're handling the larger items.
Yeah.
It's very complex. A lot of safety needed there. So very proud of her. She's doing great. And we had our baby.
I know. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It was just when I met you, there was no baby yet.
No.
Baby was on the way.
Baby was on the way. She born in January. Her name is Gia, and she's a blessing. So that's the best moment of our life now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You really did get a lot out of the Pathways program.
Pathways program, yes.
You got a career, a wife, a baby.
Exactly. So I couldn't ask more.
That's fantastic. Let's turn to your current role and talk about that. Maybe you could first help paint a picture of ACY1. What is your building? What type of a building is, and what's its role in Amazon?
Yes, so it's a Amazon robotic sortable site.
Yeah. So explain each Amazon robotic sortable site.
Robotic because we have a lot of innovation and technology inside. Yeah. We also have almost 3,000 associates. So it's this typology of building are the perfect combination between a lot of robotics, a lot of innovation, and many associates.
Yes. A lot of people talk about how many robots we have. And our robots, they're mostly more like, how would you describe the robots?
Yeah, the main robotics portion is the Kiva I think at that point everyone knows. So there are some robots that bring the pods that are the shelves in front of our associates.
Yeah.
So it's a lot better for their own safety, our associate safety, the musculoskeletal position and everything. Yeah. So it's helping a lot. Everyone talk about robotics, but they don't have the clear picture of what does it mean? Yes. It's just like innovation and technology that helps our associates.
Yeah, I remember the same thing. When I first joined Amazon in 2005, I went around and visited all of our fulfillment sites, which was six at the time, so I could do that. And just to get a sense of what's going on out there. Yeah. And our sortable buildings, you run an Amazon robotic sortable building. That means that they're smaller items, so things that are less than a microwave oven kind of size. The technology back then was exactly what you described. They were multi-level, like we have today. But instead of robots bringing shelves to employees, employees had push carts.
Yes.
And so a picker might go out and they'd look at their thing and say, okay, go to this location, pick one, put it in there, go to that location. Yes. And the big transformation was we said, well, instead of having the people walk to the product, let's have robots bring the shelves to the people. And so the people now stand in stations.
Yes.
And the shelves come right up to them and they pick.
Yes, absolutely. And as a non-English speaker, I think robotics word, it's a little bit misleading. It's automation.
It's automation.
And it's a way important, way impactful in a good way for our associates.
Yeah. Can you help paint a picture for people about how large these buildings are?
665,000 square feet.
665,000 square feet.
With the mezzanine, it's more than 1.4 million. Right. It's huge. And I was talking with my grandmother. Of course, in Italy, grandmothers are very important.
Yes.
She asked me, what's your job? So, you know, she's 93.
Yes.
For an old woman, it's very easy to understand what a doctor is, what an engineer.
A lawyer.
Lawyer, not a general manager. So it came to my mind like a metaphor. I say, you know, Nonna, that is like grandmother.
Yeah.
I'm like a mayor of a small town in Italy.
Yeah. Yes, perfect.
Because I have 3,000 associates. I need to take care of their well-being. I need to take care of the roads around the building because I have a huge yard trailer yard, a parking lot that can really impair all the viability.
Yeah.
I have a social responsibility for my township. So we do a lot of volunteering hours. I have the janitorial contractor that I work with them every day.
Yeah.
I need to walk and talk with my people. I have the financials, our cost to serve, mm-hmm. it's our priority. So I control variable and fixed cost per unit. I pay the bill. I literally pay the electricity with my support function. So, and that was the moment where she sparked, came to her eyes and say, oh, wow. And I'm proud of that because it's really, if 3,000 associate means, I don't know, 6,000 to 7,000 people if you expand to their family.
Yeah.
And being the person that every day comes to work and makes their life better, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, I'm that is happy. Cool. That is a good metaphor. The mayor, you're the mayor of a small Italian town. So physically it's large.
Yes.
Most of those floors just have inventory in them.
Yes.
So they have these pods that we have full of inventory. And so that means in a building like yours, we might have 3 million unique items inside
there. So we that's the number for the unique inventory. We have up to 20 million of
units, individual things
units,
inside.
Yes, yeah. There are the new generation, generation 10, generation 11, that are larger, up to 30 million.
You know, 3 million items. It's basically, like if you were to take a big box retailer that somebody might go to and shop, this would be, it's kind of like that, except it's like 30 of them.
Yes.
30 of them with entirely different assortments in every single one of them. And imagine you as a customer trying to shop 30 different big box retailers in a given day. It would take you, an hour just to go around.
Yeah.
These big AR sortable buildings are kind of the heart of this crazy assortment speed offering that we have.
Yeah, because we are part of the first mile. So we are responsible to receive the inventory from vendors or sellers.
Yeah.
And then easy to say, we need to store them.
Yeah.
And then once the customer order drop, we need to pick them up, pack it and ship it.
Yeah.
And we have something called SLA, pick SLA.
Yes.
So because,
and what does SLA stand for?
It's service level agreement.
Yeah, very good. There's going to be a quiz later as well.
Yes. So from the moment the customer order, literally we have few minutes, few hours, depending from the moment of the year, to pick it up, ship it, and send it.
Yeah.
Because then we need to send it either to the source center or delivery station, even better. We go last mile, or now with the SSD, the same day. So
you deliver right out of the building.
Yes.
Yes,
in
some cases.
So,
so that's, your buildings are, they hold all the inventory. When I, as a customer, come on and I place an order and I get one of these and one of those, the magic happens in your building. I think people, they kind of can understand these large buildings are part of the selection equation because they're so big, but they're also critically part of the speed equation too, because we've placed these in big, near kind of big metropolitan areas. Yes. Often yours is certainly in one kind of south of Philadelphia there. And together with some of the other AR sortable buildings, it means customers in that region probably can get, I would say, 20 to 30 million unique items delivered by the time they wake up the next morning.
Yes,
it's kind of an astounding experience.
I was talking with my wife. That's a given for now, for us now with Amazon. But my mother's-in-law came from Venezuela, from Caracas.
Yeah.
And every Amazon package, she's like,
how did that happen?
I can't believe it. And it came to my mind when Amazon wasn't existing in Italy. So now for us, it's part of our lives that we don't even realize.
Yeah.
But then when someone, that was the first person basically that I met, was living in a country where Amazon was not yet operating. And I really understood that's a life changing.
Yeah.
So
I know it's funny. People do love it. I get comments all the time. People say, I love that. But I don't think people realize how incredible it is that you can go on and almost think of anything.
Yes.
And then you'll be like, does Amazon sell it? Oh, not only does it sell it, but, you know, click now and it'll arrive by 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yes.
And you're just like, I can't, even I'm kind of stunned. You started to get there explaining what a GM actually does, a general manager.
Yes.
And so you described it as a mayor, which I think is a good metaphor. But what do you do every day?
Yes.
Like, what does a typical day look like?
Yeah, so my typical day, we start in the morning reviewing all the metrics.
Yeah.
We have the DBR, daily business review, and WBR, weekly business review. So part of our job is reviewing the metrics of the previous day.
Yes.
And here I would say that the AI tools are giving us a huge help.
AI.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the me as an operator, of course, we have a lot of AI with like supply chain, inventory allocation.
Yeah.
But for me as a GM, the most important things that I'm getting back from AI is time.
Mm-hmm.
So before there was this huge deck, WBR, DBR, you need to go in 20 different portals, doing your analysis, Excel. So now there are tools that are telling you what went wrong, what are the root causes, what are potential action in a probably 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So
why
is it very important? Because you can walk the floor then and you can engage the people.
The metrics are so critical for running these operations.
Yeah.
I think when people think, oh, how hard is it? Like this building, just pick the orders and go.
Yeah.
But as you started to describe it, it's a massive building with work going on in process paths all over.
Yeah.
And it would be like, we're in a conference room in my building right now.
Yeah.
It would be like saying, what's happening two floors down at the far corner? You have no idea what's happening.
Yes.
There's no visual way to run the building.
Yes.
You can't see everything. You have to run the whole building through the metrics of what's happening in each of these things.
We've been given a lot of time back.
Yeah.
That's very important for us.
Yeah.
So now you will see more senior leaders walking the floor as they are.
And then what do you do as you walk the floor?
We walk the floor and we have different activities. So what I do normally between one call and another, I just wash the floor.
Yeah.
Like I start from point A and I go from point B and I always take back some like opportunities, project and challenges that we need to fix.
Yeah.
That's like spontaneous.
Yeah.
But then we have Gemba walk. Yeah.
And explain what a Gemba walk is.
Yes. So basically the entire senior leadership, three times per week, we go in a department and then we walk the floor with an associate.
Yeah.
And then we listen from them what are the main barriers, the recurring barriers, and then we try to put some action plan.
Yeah. And where did Gemba come from?
From the Kaizen methodology.
Right. So you were a lean student of lean management and lean manufacturing for an Amazon's whole operation is like based on kind of lean principles and lean approaches. In fact, a lot of the language that we use internally,
it's coming from there.
One for one for lean. And so walking the Gemba, I guess the Gemba is like the point of work.
Yeah.
I think the Gemba is so cool because it's basically the idea is to really make a difference, you have to go where the work is being done.
Yeah.
And then you have to talk with the people who are actually doing the work. And so it's fine to kind of do all the metrics and do it that way. That's a good starting point. But then you actually have to get out there, find the associates, talk to the employee and just ask exactly what you said, which is what's getting in your way? How can I help you?
And there is no one that knows better than them. Okay. They are the most expert that we have in the company.
Yeah.
We need to ask them.
Yeah. And like, what kind of a problem might they be facing? What do you hear? Like, what's when they say, this is getting in my way? What
yeah.
do you hear?
So talking about problems into the warehouse, it's something very important for me as a GM and my senior team understanding what kind of problem we are facing.
Okay.
This is how we balance all the technical aspect of the job and the people management.
Okay.
So this was shared by Stefano Perego, our vice president back in Europe. I just joined the company and this shared a very important concept. Someone asked, what's the best recommendation for us as a leaders? He told us, you need to distinguish between complex and complicated problems.
Okay.
And something that clicked my mind was he shared the root of the word.
Okay.
They are both Latin words.
Okay.
They say complex come from Latin, come together, pligare, that is to weave.
Mm-hmm.
So complex is to woven something, interwoven parts.
Mm-hmm.
Complicated is completely different. Come together, pligare, it's something fold, entangled. So he said, when you face a challenge, when you face a problem, let's try to understand what kind of problem you are facing mm-hmm. so that you can pick from your toolbox the right leadership principle. Mm. And you can use the entire spectrum, full spectrum of the leadership principle. It can be earn trust, invent and simplify, deep dive. Just for an example to your question, what are the major...
Yeah, what's a complex problem?
Yeah, so majority of the problem, in my opinion, are complex mm-hmm. because they're not complicated in nature. Mm-hmm. We see on our VOA that, mm-hmm. in my opinion...
VOA is Voice of the Associate.
Voice of the Associate, yeah. In my opinion, the best tool that we have in Amazon, where associates share successes, ideas, innovation, but also... concerns, request yeah. of opportunity, and then compel us to solve it because we commit in front of everyone. So that's yeah. a perfect mechanism.
Yeah. And what's an example?
An example is like an associate has a problem with their family for their shift pattern, and the building doesn't have the right shift pattern for them.
Yeah.
So that's not complicated, yeah. but that's complex.
Yeah.
So this is why I need to take from my toolbox. I need to use the help of PXT, our people experience and technology. Mm-hmm. I need to use my senior. I need to talk to them. So that's a complex problem because yeah. I don't have a shift pattern that is created for fitting in your family, but I need to solve it yes. because you are my customer.
Yeah. So I think Steph's words, I think we talk about that a lot, are for our GMs, our best GMs are really strong on two fronts. One, that they are strong technical operators. They can understand how to flow a building from end to end, use metrics to do that, and then come up with the creative solutions to make sure to balance the building so that all the work is getting done.
Yeah.
So one, they have to be technically competent operators, but then they also have to be great people leaders.
Yeah.
And it's that combination of those two things that come together. And your building has been delivering great metrics since you've been there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On both fronts, I think. And so let's maybe talk about what are some things that you've done. Let's start on the technical operating side. When you tell somebody you're flowing the building, you have to flow the building. I'm trying to help people understand how that works. It's like a river racing through yes. that building. And so that means you've got, I don't know, how many inbound trucks that you've got a day coming in?
100.
100 inbound trucks. And then you've got 100 outbound trucks.
Yes.
And that river can never stop flowing.
No.
It has to, like, nothing can get in the way.
Excellent.
And if it's almost like a hose with water in it. If yes. you stop it anywhere, you've got big problems.
Yes. Yes.
You know, you're going to get a huge bubble that blows up any place in that building.
Yeah.
And then nothing, the rest of the building gets starved.
Yes.
And so that it can't get work done.
Yes.
And then, God forbid, you let go of that big bubble.
It flows.
And it rushes through the whole building and causes incredible damage. So your job is to do that. You've got great DEA, TPH, your touches per hour is improving, costs look great. Like, what to you, what's the secret sauce on the operation side?
So I think there are all about two principles that it takes, it's a little bit more long term mm-hmm. rather than short term, but mm-hmm. at the end it's payoff. And it takes a lot of, like, you see your metrics, they will fly. So basically, the first concept that I use with my team is leading at right scale. And the second one basically is taking some risk mm-hmm. in terms of learning.
Okay.
I explain both very quickly. Yeah. The first one is, if me as a GM, I need to do GM work.
Okay.
The moment I'm micromanaging,
uh-huh. yeah,
I'm creating a situation that my regional director needs to do some GM work.
Uh-huh.
And eventually the vice president needs to do some regional uh-huh. work. So empowering your team to take risk, don't overwrite, don't micromanage.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually it's not paying off in the yeah. first 6 months,
mm-hmm.
but then it's unlocking a lot yeah. of potential.
Yeah.
When everyone is leading at their scale,
yeah.
you will see the building flying.
Mm.
That's the first concept that I think now my team is doing great.
And I love that concept. I wish somebody had told me that concept earlier on in my career. It took me a long time to understand that. I was a consultant too in my earlier, and you know, basically the way, I don't know about your firm, but in my firm, the first line managers didn't even hire they just got assigned associates.
Yeah,
they got assigned a team to go do a project. And I actually had great pride in those early years that I felt like I could take a B team and deliver A results.
Yeah.
And I could muscle it through, you know, and that's give nice. Me, and I was like, oh, I got this whole thing figured out.
Yeah.
But I quickly realized once I got a little bit more senior and especially got into bigger operating roles in places like Amazon, that's not how it works at all.
Yeah.
That you really, if your team is not performing at kind of A level, then the whole thing is not going to scale. And you can't muscle it through like that. And I liked your vision that you've got to make sure you're doing your job and not spending time on somebody else's because you're creating two problems.
Yeah.
Somebody above you now is probably having to do the more complicated kind of work that you're not getting time to. And that you've got people below you that they're not really developing correctly because if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you should spend your time training them and getting them up to speed on how to do it. When we visited your building and walked through, you also spoke about, again, it's more of an operating term, but the importance of 5S.
Yes.
And your building really stood out for me in that quality. Can you maybe explain what 5S, another lean concept, what 5S is and why it's so important, why it's beguilingly simple, hard to do, simple.
Yes, yes. In Amazon, when we say 5S, that everything needs to be in the right place.
It is basically, it's as simple as it says, which is everything has a place.
Yes.
And it should only be in its place.
Yes. And at the extreme, in the Toyota production system, even this mug would have...
Yes, would have a circle.
Yes.
And I think when you walk into a building, you're not used to it, but... there's tape everywhere.
Yes.
And there's little different colors and different shapes.
Yeah.
And the tape signifies exactly where everything goes.
Yes.
And this is where you stack totes and this is where the carts go and this is where the ladder sits and this is where the...
Everything.
Everything.
There is a plant in my entrance.
Yes.
And I 5S. And
you 5S'd it.
And I never had a plant. It was like my way of expressing that in this building, everything needs to be at the right place.
Yeah.
I think safety...
And why is that important? Why is it important that everything's in place, besides making the building look beautiful?
Exactly. I think it's that's the secret sauce for safety. If you enter in your building and you go to your station, if everything is at the right place, I don't know, I cannot substantiate this, but I think like a psychological point of view, you will do a safer shift because you feel more safe. Also, if you remove hazard... From the floor, that's clear. But even on your desk should be everything organized, and then it will infuse this safety culture, this safety concept.
Yeah, I think one, it makes running the building easier because you can see if anything's off and out of control.
Sure.
But I do think that notion that we've engineered these buildings so that they if they're set up like they should be and you're performing standard work, they are safe buildings. And we've observed that from the safety that we have. What happens is, somebody leaves a tote where nobody expected it and somebody trips over it, or they leave a cart where it was not expected and somebody walks around the corner pushing another cart and pinches their finger as they rub up against it.
Yes.
These are like safety instances, totally avoidable if people had kind of followed 5S and kind of have everything in its place.
And as you say, this to your question, why is it important? You can repeat 1 million of time, put the things in the right place, but everything is a culture.
Yeah.
If you keep saying the stuff, but you don't create some mechanism.
Yeah.
I think 5S is a mechanism.
Yes.
So it's a mechanism that solicits everyone to keep everything at their place.
Yeah.
And this is improving the safety metrics. So SEY1 now has very brilliant safety metrics.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from these and some good root cause analysis when something happens, I didn't do nothing. So there should be a clear correlation between 5S.
You followed standard work and 5S, and then you got the safety performance. And that's what I've seen in so many buildings that when I go in, you know, one, that there's not a trade-off between safety and the performance of the building. They're almost always correlated, that our best performing buildings have our best safety metrics.
Yes.
And it's because what you do, standard work and a clean, well-organized building are leading to the same outcomes.
Yes.
And so it's great to see. So that's the technical side. What about the people side? The other thing that stood out to me with your building is I really like the culture. I like the vibe there.
Thank you.
I could feel it as I walked around. How would you describe the culture of your building?
Thank you for the feedback. I think we came a long way. There is a trust that you need to build.
Yeah.
So what I've done were the simple things. For example, I order a banner where there is my face and my email.
Yeah.
And I say, do you have a problem?
Yeah.
Send me an email.
Yeah.
I receive 20 to 25, 30 mail per week.
Yeah.
In which there are these complex problems that are not complicated, but they are super impactful for them. And then once you start solving one problem at a time, or sometimes I call them in my office and listen, here I can't help you, but I have this other option, this other option, this other option. Once you start building this trust, that's where you are starting changing the culture.
Yeah.
And then also many people, more of what, how many you can imagine, are very grateful of these 5S things.
Mm.
They say, I really enjoy working in a clean area.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah. Who doesn't? I know. So, it's such a simple, like, okay, I'm going to give you a choice. You can work in a chaotic, disorganized, variable area, or you can work in a very clean, well-organized, well-stocked area.
And I think that under a psychological point of view, it shows show them that you are caring of them.
That's right.
You can send all the beautiful messages, the beautiful, the gratefulness for the peak, but then you are not taking care of their area. And I know that it's a very used concept, but the broken windows concept, I really believe it. So if you start, you walk the parking lot, it's not clean, you enter in the building, it's not organized, then why you need to keep
The broken window concept is that if you see if a neighborhood there's a broken window, then people think, well, nobody cares around here, and they just leave some garbage, and then the whole thing stacks up. I had visited actually it was a delivery station in France, and they had an acronym their senior leaders all use, SBAM. Did you know this one? It was smile, bonjour, au revoir, merci, SBAM.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
And it was that with everybody that you saw in the building, engage them with a smile, a hello, bonjour, goodbye,
nice.
and thank you. To create open dialogue so that everybody is like, is there anything I can do to help you that is respectful? But you can see, you walk into a building like that and people are happy to see you, engaging. I saw that in your building. I thought you were a terrific embodiment of service leadership and service. I've been kind of a student and a fan of service leadership and servant leadership for a long time.
Yes.
And this idea that that you really see your role as trying to make everybody else as effective as possible. That you don't really, you're not going to work saying, what can I do to make my day better?
No.
Because that's not going to change anything.
Exactly.
And especially in a building like yours, if you really want to change performance, it's making the day better for all of those 3,000 people all around the building. And that's hard. It's much different. You could probably sit there and say, well, it would make my day better. If somebody would bring me a sandwich at 11 a.m., that would be super nice. But that's really not going to change anything in the metrics of that building. And the fact that you spend the time to create a culture to hear from all 3,000 and to talk to them and say, how can I make your Amazon experience better?
Yes.
At whatever. And like you said, you may not be able to help them, but at least... You know, you're going to listen, and I would bet 8 times out of 10, you are actually going to be able to help them.
Even 9?
Maybe even 9?
I can, but at least they know that I'm genuine and I tried.
We have one part of this podcast where we allow you to ask a question.
Yes.
We flip the script. Is there anything that you would like to ask me?
Thank you. That's a great opportunity for me. It's something about me, not as a GM, but as an Amazon customer.
Okay.
I simply forgot what the search bar is created for.
Yeah.
I just got Rufus now.
To our conversational shopping agent.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like a one-on-one conversation.
Yes.
It's really helping me. Just for an example, when my baby Jaya was coming, I asked, hey, I need like a laundry detergent that is chemical-free, organic. Yeah. And it gave me 2 or 3 opportunities, and it's made my life easier.
Yeah.
Now the question is, what are the next steps? Because is it coming more proactive? For example, okay, this is the laundry detergent, but we also have dishwasher detergent, and probably you like organic fiber cotton. So is it, what's the next
step? Oh, yeah. Maybe you should come join the AI team and talk about
it. I would love it.
It's been pretty amazing, the agentic shopping or conversational AI has been, you know, a few years in development. I would say you've probably noticed this past year, it's gotten really, really good. The underlying technology that all of us are working with has gotten better reasoning. It's got memory and then tool usage. But so from the customer standpoint, it means it starts doing magical stuff like that. So you can certainly do simple kind of chats like, what kind of laundry detergent might I like? But it also then starts to like, so I have a dog, this dog Arno, and it knows everything about my dog, Arno. Wow. And so I can literally now go on and just say, can you reorder Arno's regular supplies? Yeah. And it'll go ahead and say, hey, I've added the food, the treats, and the toys that he likes. I put them in your cart. It can arrive tomorrow. Wow. You can direct it with just spoken language to, tell me when I like this product. Tell me when it goes on deal, or not just tell me when it goes on deal, but buy it when it goes on deal. And I think it's a lot of fun. I just was doing it to start to ask Rufus kind of what it knows about you, and so you just say, based on what I buy, what do you know about me? And start to engage the conversation. Or what should I read next? And it's getting smarter and smarter. And so the capabilities that we're going to be building along that dimension are kind of getting better and better. By the time that we air this podcast, we will have actually made the next jump to, which is we're going to integrate Alexa and Rufus together.
Oh, wow.
And so we're going to have the great experience of Alexa plus the great shopping experience of Rufus. And I've been using a version of it already, and it's pretty remarkable. And so it just means that the memory and context and conversations you have with Alexa in the shopping app or on your Echo Show or what you're reading are all kind of integrated. It was Saturday morning. I got up and I was going to make breakfast for my wife and I. And so we didn't have bacon. So I used our new Amazon Now service. So that's our quick commerce service. So I ordered some bacon. I had eggs. I ordered a few other things. Go. 22 minutes delivery. So I'm still enjoying my coffee. It shows up. But this is where it got wacky. It comes in. I put everything out. And then I go to Alexa, the Echo Show that I've got. And I said, oh, Alexa, how do I cook bacon in the oven? And she said, oh, it's super easy. You can just 400 degrees, 15 to 18 minutes, put a parchment sheet on. And I was like, that sounds easy. And she goes, and if you're cooking up that uncured center cut bacon you just got delivered, I would add 2 more minutes because it's a little thick.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa. I did not see that one coming. But the integration and that those conversations are amazing. The context and the personalization that context allows is great. The other thing that I think is really fun is that we've been expanding our shopping agents' knowledge of the world beyond just what's for sale on Amazon. Mm. And so we've been adding hundreds of thousands of brands and products that aren't for sale on Amazon. Even if we don't carry it, we'll talk to you about it. Wow. Even if we don't carry it, we'll create the links so that you can go visit those sites to buy those products. Or if you'd like, we'll have Rufus or Alexa go buy it for you. It says buy for me, and our agent will go out and shop it and come back again.
That's great.
I think we're just getting started, but it's a ton of fun in that area.
That's great. Thanks for sharing.
Maybe let me get the final question in.
Yeah.
Because it's my podcast. Maybe I'll go to the part that I didn't expect, which is, so you start studying law and you get an MBA. You're in that kind of, that's a very different kind of starting point for the career. If you could go back and talk to other young people who are kind of in that space right now, they're either working at these law firms or they're getting their MBAs. You're somebody who took a very different path, kind of a very different type of role in coming to Amazon. What would be your kind of advice or suggestion to those people?
I know that is a very overspoken concept, but comfort zone It is real. When you stretch yourself and when you push yourself to learn new things, this is where you are improving. And I was too much in my comfort zone. I studied that. I was good in that. I was progressing. But then I said, okay, let's go work in fulfillment operation. And it was completely new. And then where I needed to learn even more. And I was working and then going home and taking some courses and stuff. I learned Excel, SQL, all this stuff that I wasn't using. And this made me better as a person as well. Because life, it's presenting you some barriers. I saw that you have obstacle is the word.
Yes, exactly. I bought that and gave it to everybody on my team one year.
I read that. And this is why I think was important for me taking these steps. Because I learned how to overcome barriers. And this is not helpful only on the professional way.
It's a great life skill.
It's a great life skill.
I was the same way. I bought Obstacle is the Way. It's a book written about, it's kind of pop stoicism. It's kind of written about, you know, the stoic philosophy. And it says, don't, you can be frustrated by obstacles. You can be kind of like, oh, you know, irritated, but then you step back and you say, okay, now I've got to solve it. And what you're going to discover is that by solving, by overcoming those obstacles, that is actually going to be the way that you grow and the way that you get better. And so counterintuitively, you should celebrate the obstacle that comes in front of you, because you don't know how, but you will solve that. And once you've solved it, you're going to look back and say, oh my gosh, it was a great leap forward.
And you feel more powerful. And so that's why this new career, it was difficult. Because I completely exited from what I was doing before. But then every obstacle, every challenge, every problem to solve, I was becoming stronger and stronger.
That's awesome. That reminds me, we have this leadership principle, Learn and be curious. That leadership principle that came up, I'm trying to remember what year, it was probably 6 or 7 years ago, and we were doing a rewrite, a modest rewrite of the leadership principles. And that had not been a leadership principle before then. But we were looking at the leadership principles and we were having a brainstorming session about what's potentially missing. And I think it was Andy Jassy who had said, he said, you know, one mental model might be when you think about people who are performing really well and kind of they're advancing in their careers, or those people who are kind of stuck, what is the distinguishing characteristic between those people? And is it in the leadership principles? And he raised one. He said, I think the people who flourish and grow versus the ones who get stuck, the conversation I'm having is that those people are, they have a growth mindset and they're always learning and always ready to try something new and do something different. And around the room, everybody was like, yes, I totally understand that. In fact, you get some people who are stuck and you're trying to get them out of their ruts and to grow, or that you see these people who are just constantly building their skill sets and growing. And that's where Learn and Be Curious came from. And I think it's been a fantastic addition to our leadership principles. And I think you're a fantastic embodiment of it
as
well.
Thank you.
Well, Alessandro, thank you so much for coming to the podcast.
Thank you
for having me as a guest in your building. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
And thank you for all the work that you've put in with Amazon. And
thank you.
It's quite a career that you've had already, and kind of so much movement and advancement. And I'm super excited to see what you do next. Thank your wife as well for being an Amazon GM too. This is maybe the first double GM couple that I've met inside of Amazon.
Me too, yes.
But that's fantastic. And I can't wait to come back and visit your building again.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank everybody else for coming in and listening. If you enjoyed what you heard today, follow us and listen to the next Learn and Be Curious podcast. And if you have any ideas for new people or new topics, let us know and we'll put it on the list. Thanks so much.